Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In verse 2, we see the word lowliness. Lowliness. Another word used for lowliness is humility. In our last study, I made a point of the sin of pride. Pride is the exact opposite of the word in our text, lowliness or humility. Pride is in direct opposition to humility. Some of the characteristics of pride is the fact that when we're prideful, we're blind, we're unable to see pride. Pride blinds us. Pride is like smoke in our eyes. We can't see it. Pride is also unthankful. Proud people think they deserve only what's good. The result is, why should they be thankful? As a matter of fact, they may even complain because they think they deserve better. They tend to be critical. They tend to be complainers. They'll grumble, be discontent, see the downside of everything, be quarrelsome and divisive. Prideful people show outbursts of anger, withdrawing, pouting, being moody, impatient because one's perceived rights or schedules aren't being met. They are perfectionists. Perfectionist type people who want to be the best at everything. Why? Because it's self-serving. They brag and they talk about themselves all the time. Pride, perfectionism, seeking independence. Some proud people find it extremely difficult to work under someone else, to submit. They have to be their own boss. They say, I don't need anyone. I don't need accountability for my faith and my doctrine. Others cut themselves down with comments, but inwardly they crave self-sufficiency. Pride monopolizes conversations, is rigid, stubborn, headstrong, intimidating. Pride is being consumed with what others might think. Pride causes you to become a man-pleaser, to become a man-fearer. Pride is devastated by criticism. Pride doesn't listen very well. Pride is unteachable. They know it all. They're superior. They can't learn anything. Being sarcastic, hurtful, jesting, saying things like, that's just the way I am. That's my personality. After all, I'm an A-type. I'm dominant. Whatever else you want to call them. Hurtful, jesting, pride, wants to be praised, unwilling to initiate or commit to the right thing simply to please God. Prideful people are consumed with themselves. They're envious, not glad for others' successes, deceitful, covers up faults, rarely seeks help, is fake and hypocritical, very defensive, can't be my fault. We attack one another, revenge trivializes sin, rationalizes sin, justifies sin, judges others by our own self-made standards. Often proud people rarely admit their sin or ask for forgiveness. Prideful people are lacking biblical prayer, lacking service to others, lacking in sacrificial deeds of love. Thomas Watson said we should pray without ceasing because beggars beg. Maybe we don't pray because we don't see ourselves as beggars. Proud people are irritable and very sensitive, resisting authority, being disrespectful towards others. We say he or she has a submission problem. No, they have a pride problem. It's merely displaying itself that way. The person's rarely concerned about the welfare of others. They view and judge others in terms of how others support them and their concerns. Prideful people voice their preferences at times, even when not asked. And when they do voice them, it's without compassion or consideration for others. They're unapproachable. Even when somebody points out a flaw, they're always quick to retort, minimizing it and moving on. Ouch. I confess that I have, or have had, a problem with many items on our list. Pride is a problem that we will deal with until the day we die. Pride. And if you think you have not pride, that's the proof that you are prideful. Pride is something that is easy to see in the lives of others, but it's nearly impossible to see it in ourselves. Pride is at the heart of all of our sin and all of our problems in our relationships with one another. It's the reason disunity arises within the body of Christ. It's the reason that services are cold. It's the reasons why people don't pray, why they don't read their Bibles, why they don't attend church like they should. It lies at the heart of every sin. The text before us is not about pride. It's about the polar opposite of pride, which is humility, lowliness. What is humility? The dictionary defines it as the quality or condition of being humble, modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance, rank, etc. The word used here for lowliness literally means a deep sense of one's littleness. A deep sense of one's littleness. And pride is the exact opposite. Pride is puffed up like a great balloon. You see a prideful person, their shoulders are lifted up and their chest is blown up. Lowliness, a sense of one's littleness. Let's talk for a moment about humility. Humility is elusive. When you reach the place where you think you're humble, you just lost it. You just lost it. Humility is something that we will never see in ourselves, yet it is something that others see in our lives when it is there. When they mention it, the truly humble person will not see it because they're incapable of acknowledging it. If they acknowledge the fact that they were humble, that would be pride, and humility would be instantly forfeited. True humility involves two essential ingredients. First of all, it's to have a proper view of yourself. The truly humble person sees himself as he really is. But our human nature is to exaggerate our own good qualities while we minimize the good in others. Our nature is to make ourselves look better than we truly are. The genuinely, truly person, humble person knows and confesses that they're a sinner. The truly humble person does not compare himself to others or herself to others. The humble person realizes that he or she lacks the ability to do anything by themselves, but that everything that they have has been given to them by the Lord. Why do you boast? Anything you have or are has been given to you. The first step in achieving humility is learning to see yourself as you really are. Most of us are a long way from that goal today. There's nothing more humbling than to see yourself as you truly are. That's the beauty of the scripture. It tells men and women exactly who they are and what they are. We have to have a proper view of ourselves. And secondly, we must have a proper view of God. Just look at the way that God is portrayed today. We portray him in such a human manner. We have such a low view of God. The humble person sees God as the source of salvation. The humble person sees God as the source of all righteousness. The humble person sees God as the source of all blessing, all success, all ability. The truly humble person sees God as he is, not as I want him to be, but as the scripture reveals him, as the scripture reveals God to be. We see God as he is, and that awareness of God causes the humble person to respond in humility. If you are humble, you will be like Isaiah was when he saw God and he was humbled in his presence. Isaiah 6:1-5. Paul saw God as he was, and he was forced to see himself as he was, the chief of sinners. Peter saw God as he was and recognized his own sin and begged the Lord to depart from him, for he knew how sinful that he was. Job saw God as he was, and he was forced to see himself as he really was. The truly humble person understands that God accepts us in spite of our sin, and he loves us just as we are. And that is truly a humbling truth. God accepts us in spite of our sin, and he loves us as we are. We must all come to the place where we understand that God is not impressed with our education, our fame, our abilities, our skill, our achievement, what we have done, or where we have been. All of that means exactly nothing to the Lord. And when we rely on those things instead of relying on the Lord, we erect an impenetrable barrier between ourselves and him. We must be honest about who we are. We are nothing, and there's nothing about us that commends us to God on any level. There's nothing in us that causes him to be pleased with us, to bless us, or to save us. We can only be saved when we lay aside all of the pretense of our pride and become like a little child. That's what the scripture talks about when it's saying, unless you become like a little child. We will only be accepted by him when we realize that he accepts us by grace through faith, apart from any human effort at all. Let us look at Luke 18:9-14. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You see the pride in that text? Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Seven beautiful words spoken by a man of lowliness. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. There it is in a nutshell. You see, pride. I'm not like him. I thank him. I'm not like him. I'm not a sinner like him. I fast. I give. I do. I am. That's the way pride talks. And the other man would not even so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but approaches God first. Asks God for mercy. God, be merciful to me. Notice, he signs it, a sinner. God is first. Be merciful to me, for I know that I am a sinner. What is it going to be today, brothers and sisters? Are you going to deal with that pride? All of us deal with pride, one way or the other. We either give into it or we put it to death. We're talking about humility and pride because they affect our ability to live like Christ. Pride will cause me to live as if my ways are right. When I walk in pride, I do what I please, when I please, with whom I please. And when I'm humble, I walk like Jesus. Pride and humility affect the way that people function together as a church, as a fellowship, as a gathering together. When I walk in pride, I'll demand my own way. I'll be offended when I don't get my way. I wear my feelings on my shoulders and get my feelings hurt easily. I'll seek to exalt myself. I'll talk about me, what I think, who I am, what I've done, all these things and many more is what undermines the unity of a church, of a fellowship, of a gathering. That's why in the text in Ephesians it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's only possible where there's lowliness, where there's humility. When we walk in humility, we will realize that nothing in life is really about me, about what I want, or about how I feel. I realize that everything is about the glory of God when we walk in humility. I'll not be offended when someone else acts in pride. I will not demand my rights in my way. I will not trumpet my own accomplishments or talk about myself all the time. I'll not seek to dominate every conversation and turn it to myself. I'll put the good of others ahead of my own good. I'll look for ways to honor God with my ways and with my walk and with my being. I will yield myself to the Spirit of God and trust Him to lead me in the right way. Humility and pride, brothers and sisters, what's it going to be? While God stands against pride, He's promised to bless the humble. When we lose ourselves in Him, we'll be used by Him and blessed by Him. But as long as we continue to walk in pride, we're doomed to failure. Doomed to failure. This is why the church struggles so much with unity. Did you ever stop for a moment and say to yourself, you know, I could be wrong. I could be wrong about whatever that situation would be. I could be wrong about that. But pride says, no, you're not wrong. Not you. No. William Temple said this about humility. Humility does not mean thinking less of yourself than of other people. Nor does it mean having a low opinion of your own gifts. It means freedom from thinking about yourself one way or the other at all. You see? It's so freeing. Humility is freeing. True humility is not thinking little of yourself or much of others. True humility is not thinking of yourself at all. The comparison stops. You don't have to get to be that. When we become truly humble, we cease to matter to ourselves. It has been said that humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when no one praises me, when I'm blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in and shut the door and kneel before the Father in secret. And know that I am at peace, that there is calmness all around me. The humble person is not one who thinks meanly of himself. He simply does not think of himself at all. He has truly realized that it is no longer he or she who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Christ now lives in you, brothers and sisters. If you be a child of God, Christ dwells inside you. The Spirit is always pushing us, guiding us, leading us in that direction of humility. For Christ was the humblest of all men. And he comes and to live in you. Where else do you think he's going to take you? Not prideful. It's the exact opposite. At the core of all our sin, brothers and sisters, is pride. It's all about us. It's all about ourselves. And when you have pride in the church, a lack of humility, it devastates the unity in the church, in the fellowship, in the gathering. Because pride always promotes self. And Christians are called to promote Christ. But to make much of Christ, it's all about Christ. It's not about us. But pride makes it all about themselves, itself, himself, herself. We're prideful in the world, we get saved, we come in the church, and we bring the same pride that we had in the world into the church. And instead of striving to be the head of the corporation, we come into a church or a fellowship and we strive to be the head of that. We just switch our venues, that's all. Just practice pride in a different place. Pride and the lack of humility is devastating. When Jesus spoke of the second commandment, he said, and the second is like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He knew that we had no problem loving ourselves. He knew the real test of our character was loving others on the same level that we love ourselves. We need to love others, brothers and sisters. We need to humble ourselves. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Most of the time, we don't love as we love ourselves. We don't love others. We don't love our neighbor. We don't love our enemies as we love ourselves. We put ourselves and our agenda ahead of what is best for Christ. We must ask the Lord to help us develop true humility of heart so that nothing matters to each of us but the will of God and his glory. When that alone is the desire of our heart, then we will walk in unity with the Lord. We will walk to the glory of God. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness. Paul says, I beseech you, I'm begging you, please, to walk worthy of the calling. You see the humility just in that. That's a command, that's an exhortation, but yet, even the way that that is brought to us, I'm begging you, brothers and sisters, in light of the first three chapters of the scripture, knowing that all that we have been given, Paul's saying, I'm beseeching you, I'm begging you, that you walk with all lowliness. May we be a people, may we be people that see ourselves as we truly are in the sight of God. May we see the littleness of ourselves. So I shouldn't even go further than that, to not even say the littleness of ourselves, but the nothingness of ourselves. It's a truly humbling word today. I know it is for me. I know when I read all of those different manifestations of pride, all those different characteristics of pride, I was convicted and convicted and convicted. But the good news is that we have a Savior that has paid our price for the sins that we have committed, for the pride that we have committed and shown towards others. He has forgiven us our sins. That is the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is to the unbeliever, if you've never been saved, come to Christ today. Humble yourself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot be good enough. You cannot earn God's favor. You have to come to God the way that he says, to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. See, the whole plan of salvation is all about humility. But pride says, I'm not coming. I'm not bowing my knee. I'm not giving over the rule and reign of my life. This life is all about me, and I'm going to live it to the fullness. But God says, no, it's all about me. And you need to repent and to come to God for forgiveness of your sins. For trying to save yourself is the ultimate act of pride. God says you can't save yourself, and pride says, oh, yes, you can. You can earn salvation. And God says, no, for all have sinned. All of us. That's the beauty of the scripture. It puts every man, woman, boy, and girl in the same boat. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. See, there's the good news. The bad news is for all of us have sinned. But the good news is the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness of sins, eternal life in Christ Jesus. So, as Paul used the word, I beseech you, I'm begging you, to come to Jesus Christ today for forgiveness of sins. Simply come as the tax collector did that I read in Luke 18, where the tax collector said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. The Lord first, having mercy upon you, a sinner. May you see yourself as you truly are today. Be you a child of God, or be you unsaved. Child of God, put that pride to death. Unsaved friend, come to Christ today for forgiveness of sin.